Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV podcast. If you're joining us live on YouTube, you're amazing, amazing people. If you listen to it after the fact, you're also amazing. Everyone needs some positive life affirmation at all times because the world is shite. Chris Paycheck joins me, Georgia Stevens as well, and James Sutton for this one. What a wonderful team we've got for you. You can interact with us in the comments again if you're live, but we're going to get through a host of topics, including Liverpool's trophy lift. If Liverpool could sign one player from the Premier League this summer, not from a main rival, who would it be? Favourite Premier League game of the season and the PFA Player of the Year nominations as well. And we're going to get into our kickoff question in a moment. But first, the podcast is sponsored by Acronis. Here's a little word from our sponsor.
We exist online, and as such, we need to know that all of our data, including videos and images, are backed up securely. That's why we use Acronis True Image 2020. And thanks to our sponsor, Acronis, you can have peace of mind that all of your data is secure too. Red Men TV viewers can get Acronis True Image 2020 for free for 6 months, and then it's just $13.99 per quarter. Acronis True Image 2020 is the number one personal backup and cyber protection solution that's trusted by more than 5 million users in 145 countries around the world. You'll get 500 gigabytes of Acronis cloud storage that combines a reliable backup solution with multiple devices and integrated anti-malware defenses for true cyber protection. Safeguard the emails and attachments from your office.com email, as well as your OneDrive content with direct cloud-to-cloud backups. You can use the Acronis mobile app to back up the data on your mobile phone, and you can back up and clone your entire PC or Mac with True Image 2020 to a USB drive or the Acronis cloud. And don't forget the dual protection that replicates local files in the Acronis cloud. Click the link below to get your first 6 months subscription to Acronis True Image 2020 for free right now, and never lose one of those incredible moments again.
Yes, we are back. Thank you very much to the wonderful people at Acronis. Get involved. There'll be a link in the description underneath. Right, okay, we've got our kickoff question this week for the podcast. It is via Dan Levins on Twitter. He says, if it was legal to keep any animal as a pet, as long as you covered all living costs, what animal are you choosing? Chris?
The Galapagos tortoise.
Is that the really big, one of the really big ones?
Yeah, it's fucking massive, lad.
Honestly, tortoise, though, that lad.
Like, I'm thinking about it. It's something that could live in your family for generations. You could just be that house down the street with the Galapagos tortoise, couldn't you? You know what I mean? Which is pretty cool anyway. But then, like, they move, like, relatively slowly, and they sit around quite a bit, so I'd probably make some kind of coffee table out of them. Mm-hmm. Which would be pretty cool, like, and maybe just, I don't know, they're quite strong as well. Maybe you could put a mini fridge on the back, and just have them sort of walking around with beers for you or something. Look, I'll be honest, I heard the question when you asked the question, and it's the first thing that came into my head. I've not really got much more than
I'm
that.
I'm spitballing, Paul. I'm just throwing ideas out there. They're not necessarily all fully formed. Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. No, I expect nothing less, Chris, which is why I came to you first. Because I thought on the shortest notice, you're going to pull the best short-term answer out there. Brilliant. Georgia, if you could keep any animal as a pet, any animal?
Probably, I don't know how I'd deal with it, but a giraffe. So my room's on the loft conversion. So I think if I had it in the garden, nice conversation out the window. It felt great. I think I could pass things down through
it's
the.
Not a talking giraffe. It's just.
I just want to talk back, but I can get some.
To be fair, you do talk to pets.
See?
Yeah, actually, could I, if you get permission for that, could I borrow it? Because I've got a plank growing out of my chimney that I can't get to, but at some point I'm going to have to get to it because it's getting pretty big.
You have to pay a fee and I'll rent them out, clean your gutters, everything.
Nice. Good. Good. Little money spinner as well. I like that.
We've both gone for how can we use this animal to benefit us.
Yeah. That's about as human as you're going to get, though, isn't it? Let's be honest. What can we get out of owning this?
You keep a mentality. I like it.
I think the giraffe's a great shout, to be honest, because, as I say, it's not going to kill any small children in your household.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
On purpose. And if there was another rather tasty giraffe down the street, someone else has managed to procure one. The fights. Have you seen them fight with the necks? Oh, yeah. My God. A little bit like that, Paul, yeah?
Throwing the neck in. Yeah, absolutely. James, what's your animal?
I watched Aladdin at the weekend.
Yes.
And there's a scene in Aladdin where the genie played by Will Smith, very well played, I must add, turns his monkey into an elephant. And Aladdin rides his elephant down the street. And for the simple reason that I'd like to ride an elephant down drive, I think I'd like to have a pet. I'd like to have an elephant. Obviously, the living costs would be extortionate, and we don't really have room for it. So, but luckily, it's hypothetical. But just simply so I could ride it down Queen's Drive.
Yeah, you could just let it loose in Sefton Park, and as long as it was yours, you know.
Well, there's not many elephants around Sefton Park, Paul, so everyone would know it was mine. You wouldn't fucking lose it, would you? Where's my elephant gone? Oh, thank fuck, it's there. You could drape it with banners.
Like champions.
Champions banners and all that good stuff. You could put a little hat on it, like a little red baseball cap, like a Klopp hat, and we could ride it down Queen's Drive.
Yeah, and if it does go missing, it's probably just drinking from the Sefton Park Lake.
Right. It'd drink the whole fucking lake dry, wouldn't it?
I like the problem with it being in Sefton Park is that if it's just free roaming, there's a very good chance that it ends up spray painted and lots of kids sitting on it doing those little canister, laughing gas canister things, doing some balloons on it.
I'm sound with that, man.
Cool, more elephant for everyone.
You can't hurt my elephant.
Yeah.
I'd call it Chris Pajak Jr.
Thanks, mate. I'd still have a bigger arse than the elephants as well. I think the other thing you've got going when you've got an elephant, I mean, there's so many pros, but there's a slight con with living close to Sefton Park and them just refurbing the palm house, is that everyone will know it was your elephant that destroyed the palm house.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I've not put a huge amount of thought into this. I only heard the question a couple of minutes ago, so I'm sorry if my elephant damages anything.
My imaginary elephant.
This is bananas. I thought we were talking about football.
Yeah, we might as well. On the flip reverse, what's the animal that takes the least amount of effort, gives you the least amount you put in, get the least amount back, has the shortest lifespan and not something that you can get attached to? So like a stick insect that I'd be made up with. It'd die. I wouldn't be arsed. I could get on with my life. The reason I can't be arsed with animals, for apart from all the other things that you have to look after them, which is just a pointless extra effort in life, is that at some point I'm going to have to deal with it dying. Can't be arsed with that. Cannot be arsed with that. So something I just don't give a shit about and no one could give a shit about. So some sort of really genetic insect or whatever would be absolutely fine. And if it died accidentally, shrug, get on with my life. Yes, if you're watching, I've got plenty of things in my life to care about. Animals, you're all right. Yeah, it is.
We've just lost like 20,000 subscribers there, I reckon.
Listen, that's safe. People can have their animals and they can love their animals all they want. But, you know, I've got real people to love. It's fine. So, anyway, the topics we're going to be discussing this week. I want to talk about the trophy lift first and foremost. If you want to interact with us, you can do in the comments live. If you want to become a Redmen member, you can do as well. You get access to loads of custom emotes, which you can spam into the comments while we're doing this. And you get access to the Final Word show, which is exclusive for either the website subscribers or to YouTube members of Tier 2 and Tier 3. So when Liverpool lift the trophy tomorrow and we are absolutely crowned as Premier League champions, there's a 60-minute show that we're going to celebrate it with that you can watch if you become a YouTube member right now. Right, so Chris, yes, trophy lift. I don't know if you've seen the video doing the rounds of the test light show, which is like, it's genuinely something else, like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. We're going all in on this, and as a result, fans of other teams are going to fucking hate this. And I think we need to prepare ourselves for that so that we can kind of soak it up as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't really like the light show and all that, and certainly I found out this morning that it was Coldplay as well, because I was watching it in bed last night on my phone on mute. So I was like, oh, nice one, Georgia. Georgia?
I don't know what's going on here.
Chris, what's going on your computer, Georgia?
I got another invite to join the pod call, and then next I know it, Chris Page actually in my head.
There's a visual gag.
That was amazing.
All of these podcast listeners, but go watch the video after the fact if you haven't seen that. Chris has just tried to meet Georgia. That's mad. Anyway, carry on, Chris.
Where do you go from there? I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of Coldplay anyway, and I didn't like the fact that it was Coldplay that was getting blared out. I'm not too bothered about it though. It's like everything, Paul, isn't it? Like these kind of things, I'm not a fan of them, but they don't really piss me off either. I'm just a bit meh on it. And if rival fans get wound up by it, then I'm all in on that. Because if they're going to get wound up, then brilliant, absolutely. And if you can rub it in someone's face, rub it in their face. Yeah. And that's what it's about, isn't it, at the moment for Liverpool, I think.
Yeah, I'm very much of the mentality, James, there. And it's like, Coldplay's a good example of this. When everyone hates something, it kind of makes me love it even more. Like, and I kind of like that if it's going to be the most loathsome thing on planet Earth for fans of every team but Liverpool, you might as well throw Coldplay on there, because that's what Coldplay are to the world. You know, pick as many annoying things as possible and go with them, as far as I'm concerned.
If there's a more hated band than Coldplay, we should choose them.
You too.
Soundtrack.
Yeah, it's you too. Yeah, he's right. Paul's right. It's you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever winds everyone else up. Do we know what Coldplay's song it is?
Sky. It sounds like.
Yeah, that is what it is. I mean, I didn't know what it was because it's crap and I don't listen to them. But
right,
yeah.
No, listen, right. In Coldplay's defense, right. So I've never been a big Coldplay fan, but we went to Glastonbury. We go every year, and we went to Glastonbury this one year, a few years ago, and Coldplay were headlining, and we were like fucking whatever. And honest to God, they were brilliant, man. They were wicked live. Everyone had these little wristbands that lighted up and flashed in time with the music, and it was dead good. So whilst I appreciate that Coldplay is not everyone's cup of tea, there are worse bands that, like, we could have had like Daphne and Celeste fucking soundtracking it, or I'm trying to think of someone else that's worse.
Why couldn't we just have Dua Lipa?
You see, yeah. If we were in charge, then it would just be bangers, wouldn't it? It would be like Scouse House. That's what we want, is like big tunes. We don't want, but you know, it is what it is. And if it, like I'm with Chris, if it winds other fans up, all the better, man. More lights. I want lights. I want it like when the Undertaker comes out and it's all like, I want Henderson walking through the mist.
Yeah.
And then the strobes hit. That's what I want. I want it all, man. I want strobes. I want lighting effects. I want the whole. I want Kenny Dalglish to come down on like a plinth from up high and be lowered down, holding it and hand it over. I want the whole nine yards, man.
I want him coming in in like a wing suit, you know, those fan propelled like wing suits, like shooting. But not so like do it special effects or do it like the when the Queen dropped in alongside James Bond, like have that and then it lands and then the camera and it drops out of frame and when he pops up it's Kenny and he unzips. Yeah, I'm made a full production. I think Georgia as well. It's gonna be said that it's gonna be something that makes Evertonians feel even more bitter and cruel inside. You know, it should be seen from all four corners of the city. It should somehow make Goodison seem even dirtier. Anything they can do.
If they can make it as long as possible, I'd love for every player to have their own intro music. A bit like Royal Rumble. Every player, intro, full length of Anfield walk to the car. I want to be able to open a window and you can't not hear it. So, yeah, as long and as kind of unmissable as we can make it, I'm very for that.
Who's Chris? Who's the ring announcer, the famous one?
One of the Bruce Banner or Bruce Buffer or something like that, is it? Bruce Buffer.
Yeah.
There's two of them, isn't there? Which I found out a couple of years ago. The brothers, they've cornered the market, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Just tried to get into it, but elbowed them out.
I know. It's like,
let's get both of them. And they both have to say the person's name. And have a quote. I want it, yeah, pomp and circumstance. I want it to be absolutely regal. And what's the best way then for Jordan Henderson to announce the bit, because he's going to come up last, presumably.
Pop,
you know, like Rey Mysterio, like on a and lands. Oh, I mean, that might be a little bit dangerous with his knee or whatever.
I've got this. You need to come in on a cannonball to the song Cannonball or Wrecking Ball or whatever the hell it is. Whatever the hell it is.
There is a song called Cannonball. It's by Damien Rice and I don't think it would fit.
Is it Wrecking Ball then? Is it Wrecking Ball?
Real slow jam.
I love that. Yeah, it's all going brilliantly. Then Jordan Henderson comes in too.
I don't know what it is, but it seems like you think it's funny. So I'll assume that didn't go.
Henderson naked on a wrecking ball, swinging along the car.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. And smashing through like a picture of Alex Ferguson's face and a listing of all of his career achievements to symbolically represent how Liverpool are taking apart everything he's ever built his life around.
Who's coming out? Christina Aguilera, dirty and chaps.
It's Bobby, isn't it?
Bobby, yeah, absolutely.
Bobby. It's you know what? It might be someone shocking, like Matip. The song and he goes, yeah, it really represents me. And you're like, what, Joel?
Always the quiet ones, Paul. It's always the quiet ones.
Definitely always the quiet ones. Like, yeah, Joel Matip coming out. That'd be amazing. Ladies, gentlemen. And he's just like bouncing down at this mad red carpet, the full length of the pitch. I'm here for that. I'm here for that all day long. Yeah, right. Look, just on a just to kind of pull this back, and I don't know how I rein this back in, to be perfectly honest. You're saying that Liverpool have spent £1 million on this, Chris. I'm just on Matip's chaps alone.
They should be cheaper, there's less material.
Well, yeah, but it speaks to the quality of the material that is used, really, more than the what's not there. They'd be like 2 million if they were complete trousers. I think that's the way to look at it. But no, we've seen a couple of tweets. I really don't know how I'm pulling this back. We've seen a few tweets of people criticising that because that figure came out. And I think if you're looking at it from a positive Liverpool perspective, and this is kind of what I'm driving at over the top line thing, we can wind opposition people up and there's people who are Liverpool fans as well who might think this way. We're spending £1 million on a light show to lift the trophy, and I'm bang up for that because I think it deserves to be marked, and in a way that we wouldn't have had to mark it if it wasn't for COVID. But when you've got, I've seen two arguments, is that Liverpool is the club that tried to furlough staff because they were saying they were struggling financially, but they're spending £1 million on a light show to lift the trophy. And also, like, Liverpool women's teams just gotten relegated because they've had, like, basically no support for two seasons. And yet we're spending this kind of money. That they're going to be the obvious criticisms of it.
And rightfully so, I think. You know, I think there is more important things, but I don't think that £1 million will necessarily be all wasted. I think when you do something like this, when you see the pomp and the circumstance, people will get into that, and it might be new fans who spend money over the next 10, 15, 20 years. So I don't see it as a full waste of £1 million, if I'm honest. But I do get that, like, it seems a little bit over the top, shall we say.
And this is the stuff we're going to have to prepare for, isn't it, Georgia? Because there'll be the obvious triggered weirdos who should just switch off. You know what I mean? And it should be not, this is, and Liverpool are selling it as such. This is for us. They're doing it for the fans. They're doing it for the people who can't be in the ground. They want to make this mark a special occasion. They want it to be a visual spectacle. And I'm kind of bought in on all that. And but this is the problem with the internet and the reactions to stuff, is that there will be some of the more lighthearted, obviously daft reactions, but there will also be people looking to try, really bitter human beings looking to strike and make this seem like it's more of an important thing in a negative sense than it probably is.
Yeah, I think it's a chance there. Like, it's about making it, I see as making it as visually appealing as possible to keep people safe and keep people at home to watch it. Because you want to watch it, you want to see it for the full thing. It's no use, you know, standing outside Anfield and hearing it and everyone saying, oh, did you see it live? So there's that element of it, and like Chris said, it's almost like a marketing thing. But I get you can't not get what the point is. It's a lot of money. And when you look at everything else and where money hasn't been spent and kind of the issues that we've had over the past few kind of weeks and months of money being tight and things, it does rub people up the wrong way. And if Liverpool fans have something to say about that, it's rightfully so to be upset about that. I think it kind of annoys me when it's rival fans and it's other fans who are kind of putting their two cents in when their club's probably furloughed staff or their club's doing a similar thing. So you can't pick and choose when you get upset about something, but that's kind of the way the internet is.
Just to add on to this, and I think it's important to add perspective, and I'm not saying I fully agree with what I'm about to say here, by the way, because I do think that it is, for the most part, probably a bit over the top, the money that they're spending on it. But let's not forget that Liverpool didn't furlough the staff when they'd won the Premier League. Liverpool furloughed the staff when they didn't know whether the league was going to continue or not. And that should be taken into account because, you know, we've now won the Premier League. You get winnings for winning the Premier League. Like, when they attempted to furlough staff, it was all up in the air. And I think everybody's actually kind of forgotten that. So just to add a little bit of perspective on there as well.
And don't forget, Chris, of course, that it doesn't matter because it was a thing that happened, which means that it's happened forever. It's like how people still try to blame Liverpool or still go on about Heysel as though there'd been no recrimination or apologies or all that kind of stuff because, again, ammunition in football banter apparently lives forever. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some way of Shewhorn and Steven Gerrard falling over because that's all people have got to fall back on. But no, James, it should be treated as what it is, you know, and I think a lot of it's just going to be noise. And mercifully, at least for the days to follow, if they do it right, and you get to see the joy on the players' faces and all that kind of stuff, I think there's the positivity is that's going to like kind of flood our timelines. Is going to make it more than enough.
And all, yeah, I mean, first of all, I agree with everything you guys have said about it. I think, you know, it's an obscene amount of money to spend. You know, there's no getting away from that. But to play devil's advocate, the footage of this trophy lift is going to last forever. It's going to be immortalised forever. And were they... And look, it's a weird situation. There's no precedent for it. We don't, you know, it's never been done without fans. So for them to spend that amount of money, you know, they have to create something. They have to create something special and they have to create something memorable and something that's going to be talked about, you know, for a long, long time. And the footage is going to be shown for a long, long time. So I kind of get the pomp and the ceremony and all that good stuff. Yeah, obscene amount of money, but equally, you know, whatever. Let's let them celebrate. It's important. We've got to have that moment. We've got to have that title lift and you know, immortalize this season in some way, I suppose, you know.
Just to add on to that as well, I think next year, if we were to win the Premier League, you don't spend any money and you just line all the players up going twice. Twice! And that's good enough for me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, I agree with the immortalisation thing. It's dead right. And people forget this. And you could see it in like the way the worldwide media was talking about Liverpool when we were confirmed that we were going to win it mathematically. an institution the size of Liverpool winning the Premier, the top division trophy, whatever you want to phrase it, after 30 years is global sports news. And it in that regard, as much as that sounds like Liverpool being a little bit, you know, self-involved, yeah, is right. But it has a wider meaning.
And what would everybody say if they spent absolutely buttons on it? Yeah. If it was just, you know, nor as it is normally with the little plinth and the Premier League over the top in the middle of the pitch, and it was just a trophy raised to no fans with nothing apart from a few fireworks, you know, people would say, you know, that we hadn't honoured the season and hadn't honoured the players and hadn't given it enough credence. So, you know, there's arguments to and for it.
You do. You need to. I think that's it. I think in terms of the effort that the players have expended, you need to have a big thing at the end, because it's got to be, that trophy's got to have more value than it just being a piece of metal that you lift up above your head and you have a bit of a dance with your mates. You need to create that. You need, and because they can't see 50,000 people jumping up and down and crying and all that kind of stuff, you need a little bit of something.
I think as well, like you said, the main thing when it's a normal season is it's not necessarily the trophy lift, it's the afterwards of the parade around the stadium of the friends and the family, and that's not going to be able to happen. So we're not going to do what's normally done. And I think that, like James says, it ties in of, if you would have just done what had happened, lift the trophy, then what, 5 minutes, run down the tunnel and say, nice one. You've got to do something different.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, of course, I think you were saying it earlier, Georgia, that, you know, it's also part of the package to keep people at home, because you don't want to to say, well, yeah, you're going to miss it. You can only watch it on the telly. So if you're not at home, you are going to miss it. And look, people are going to gather at Anfield. I'm not saying, I can't say, you know, Liverpool are going out of their way to tell people unequivocally nothing will be happening to justify you being there. There's nothing extra you're going to see for being there. I lost my right to tell people, and not that I had one in the first place, but, like, you know, to say you should or shouldn't do these things, because I went after the Chelsea City game. But yeah, I think it's the trophy lift, as I say, as you were saying, it's designed to give people more motivation not to go to the ground.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's not just a Liverpool issue. It is a wider, Liverpool fans aren't just in Liverpool, it's a global issue. And I think when you look at the eyes that will kind of be on the city, if it was just a bit of a kind of dull event, and as a result people are crowding outside and you get the same scenes, to have them sort of replayed again over, it will look bad. And whereas if you kind of had, you know, something where it's asking people to stay at home, something that you have to kind of watch, it'll look better on television than it would, you know, replay through kind of social media and things, then the club's kind of done their bit to try and detract people from going outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay, we'll move on topics then. Chris?
Yeah, I want to know who everybody would like to sign. If Liverpool could hypothetically sign someone from a Premier League club this summer, and let's say it's not from one of our main rivals, and I'm not exclusively saying that, because if you said to me, look, listen, you could sign Giroud or Willian from Chelsea, I think there's a possibility that Liverpool could get something like that done. But the likelihood is, like, De Bruyne is off limits, you know what I mean? That type of thing. Rashford's probably off limits. From any Premier League side, one player, who would you pick and why? James, I'll come to you first on that, mate.
I really like, I know he's, okay, so first of all, he doesn't fit the profile age-wise, okay? I think he's 28, 29, but Jimenez from Wolves, I've liked him all season. I love what Wolves do anyway. I think they're one of, you know, they're a really, really great side. He scores some great goals. I think we're going to need another striker very, very soon. I think the question of whether Divock Origi is good enough to be our sort of third, fourth choice, you know, is a question that comes up, you know, every time we maybe don't bang in a load of goals. Shaqiri's, you know, is going to be off. And there's always been a bit of a drop-off striker-wise. And I think having someone like Jimenez, he can come straight into this side and do absolute bits. I think he's very, very mobile. He plays with both feet. And also the style of play that Wolves expect from their strikers is very similar to the style that we...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
That we are basically mastered. So I think he comes in and does a job straight away. And, you know, and also, you know, as with all everyone that, you know, everyone will choose Premier League experience. But yeah, I've liked him and Ez all season. And I know he's probably a little bit old and probably doesn't fit the profile, but I think he's a fabulous player. And for our, you know, for our third or fourth choice, perfect.
I think that's a really great shout. Paul, who would you go for, mate?
I mean, does it count? Do Man United still count as rivals?
Yeah, I think
historical,
so.
Historical rivals, yeah. Maybe.
I mean, they literally wouldn't sell us Gabriel Hines. And he wasn't playing for them. So, yeah, I think they're not selling any of their players to us.
Yeah, it'd be Mason Greenwood all day long. But I just go with the D'Amatore. I don't even think he's that good. But he's just, so stupid fast and strong that I would enjoy watching him play for us. Like, you know, it'd be back to the first season of Salah, I think, where, except probably just not as good because he doesn't have the same end product, but he when you just batter the ball over the top and he just clicks his fingers and he's there, you know. It's more like teleportation than speed. That's how fast he is. Yeah, jumper, absolutely. Yeah, I just a player like that, and I think that's what we're desperately missing, is another stupidly, stupidly fast footballer to add to the team. And that's where I'd go with. And there's obviously plenty out there, but he's the big one. I think everyone would get behind that because he's a proper match of the day player, and he's been boss against Man City, so we've probably paid more attention to him than most other players. I'd go for a D'Amatore.
I think he's more than a match of the day player nowadays as well. I think, you know, he's added that consistency to his game. I think he's a fantastic shout. Like, what about you, Georgia?
Probably the young kid Lamptey when we played Brighton, the fullback. Just because, one, I think he'd fit perfectly. We kind of want that backup and we want our other options, but he'd done really well against us, and he kind of made me sit up and take notice. And I think the way he plays as well, you know, he's been through Chelsea Youth Academy and things, he'd be great as a fullback, but I think as well as another winger option, he's quality on the ball and he's got a decent work rate. So I think the other one would have been Adama Traore, because just for the same reason, I'd enjoy watching him. Mm-hmm. I hate it when we play him, so I'd rather play for us.
That is a thing, though, isn't it? It's that we don't have to play him twice a season thing. I don't know whether that's worth £135 million, which is what was getting touted around yesterday. They're not selling for 100. Yeah, madness. I am going to go Danny Ings. I'm going to go back to the well, mate. I've loved seeing his resurgence this season. And I had a really interesting chat on my Steam channel with Jithin and Partial last night. Paul, obviously, two people who go into your Twitch as well. And they were like, you know, we had a bit of a back and forth on it. Would he fit the system and all that? And I'm like, I get that as a striker going forwards, he probably doesn't fit the system as well as a Roberto Firmino does. But as a pressing forward, I mean, someone to come on and harry your defences. And I think a lot of teams, a lot more teams, even more than this season, are going to try and play out from the back. I just think Danny Ings is a fella who could still do absolute bits for us. I mean, he's got 19 Premier League goals in that Southampton side. He massively struggled at the start of the season. I'd love Danny Ings. And I know, Paul, secretly, I think you would too.
No secret, I love Danny Ings. I think he's great. And I think it's interesting because I think there's like him and Brewster are two examples of the same thing, where there's lads who just need to go and play football. They've never, the quality wasn't in doubt, but then you needed a season just to prove, get yourself physically up and running. And Danny Ings, I mean, the only issue with Danny Ings is that he's probably just a tier below. But you're right. Like I'd take a punt again on Danny. It's a shame. I was asking the question, like, do we have a buyback on him? Wouldn't that be hilarious if after that Southampton we go, there you go. It's like having a coin on a string, and you go, oh, and hey, when they reach for it, I think I could live with that.
I couldn't wait. I love a bit of Danny Ings. I think he's got unfinished business at a top club as well.
Yeah, maybe. There's a load of clubs I think from third downwards who could. He could be transformative to a few like Everton. He'd be a mate, and Everton would absolutely adore him as well. And and it sounds a bit disrespectful because Everton are a bit poo. But I think that, you know, he would significantly improve what they do. And we had a few comments in, but obviously it's a hot topic. People love discussing potential transfers. Whoever's in charge of the Redmen TV account, as Beck Chris says, Danny Ings.
To be fair, I've been talking about him for the last 24 hours, Tom, so well done you, mate.
Harsh says Jimenez, European royalty says Son. I'm actually surprised you didn't go with Song Heung-min, Chris.
I still technically think that Tottenham wouldn't sell him to us. I class them as one of those rivals and stuff like that, so I don't think Mourinho is selling. And are they fifth? Are they close to fifth? It feels like they're close. Sixth, then? They must be sixth.
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
I'm going to check.
Yeah, genuinely doesn't matter. Harsh is saying Martial again. I like the disrespect of saying Man United on arrival, to be honest. Lucid Moment 71 saying Mings from Aston Villa. There's good. There's plenty. Again, Matt Hantu saying Adebayo and Fenway. I'd be made up for that, absolutely. and Johnny Walker just backing up the shout from Georgia there with Tarek Lamptey. Yeah, definitely. Right, okay. Next topic then comes from Mr. James Pearce.
James Pearce?
Yeah, thanks, James. Thanks, James, for writing in. Fucking hell.
Yeah, James Pearce does normally write his own stuff, though. That's James, probably James,
you there? No, we've lost him. We've lost him. Skype obviously must have cut out. We'll have to go to James Sutton, I'm afraid. Fucking hell, James.
I'm partially flattered.
Yeah. You just ruined some transfer news for us.
Bad news, Sutton. just pouring water on any rumour. I wanted to talk about our favourite games from this season, really.
It's glorious, glorious.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been so many. First of all, there is no wrong answer, first of all. You know, we've basically been brilliant for two seasons. But pick one from this season. I'll go first. The Leicester game on Boxing Day. I was dead nervous about this game. I'm not really sure why. I think there was quite a lot of fixtures then. We were playing, I think we were about to play Spurs. We had Everton coming up. Wolves was over Christmas. So there was quite a few big fixtures coming up. And you were kind of, the cynic in me was still kind of expecting the wheels to fall off. You know, it was away from home. Leicester were in really good form. I think Leicester was second, actually, at that point, or maybe third, but they were certainly up there. And it was just one of them performances that it had me out of my chair fucking shouting at the telly. We were so good. Trent gets two assists and a goal, A goal, by the way, that Steven Gerrard in his fucking prime would have been pleased with. He runs the length of the pitch, gets on the end of it, and first time across. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. Bobby Firmino's incredible that day. Robbo defends really, really well. It's just a great game. And then, you know, it's topped off by Trent doing his Mbappe celebration to the travelling cop. I mean, and it was kind of, I know a lot of Reds, talk about the Man United game as the first game where they went, we're going to win the fucking league. That was the game for me where I went, we're fucking unstoppable. We are absolutely unstoppable. So yeah, that's my, that's my favourite game. Who shall I go to? Georgia, what was your favourite game of the season?
I probably, Leicester was up there. Sheffield United was also within a shout. But I went with the most recent kind of Crystal Palace, when we the game that kind of, before the Chelsea game, set us up to win the league. And I think it was because we had that, you know, lockdown and everything, and football's coming back and no fans, and the bubble had kind of popped a little bit. And then we played Everton, and I was just like, oh, we're just going to keep seeing it out, and it's going to be dragged out. And then when we played Palace, I think that was the game where I kind of watched us, and I was like, that's what Liverpool's about. We absolutely dominated that game. And it was the game that made me see and think, yeah, we deserve to be champions based on that result. And I think other people watching just went, yeah, hats off, that was. I think because that game was essentially the one that won us the league, because we were waiting on Chelsea City then, I was kind of like, yeah, we deserve to, based on that. If it would have been, you know, the Everton game was the last game before we won the league, or we drew and we saw it out, then I kind of would have ummed and ahed. But it was that one that I was like, yeah, okay, you can't argue with us now, because that was something special. Chris?
I can't wait to hear what James is going to call Paul, to be honest. I hope you've got something good lined up, James. A little bit of retribution, mate. I'm going to be dead cheeky and pick two. And apologies for everybody for that. But there's a couple of people, George Paul in the comments and Emmett Russell, who've both said Man United, and Man United at home was mine. I think for me, it was that first time that the cop really sang, we're going to win the league. And being there, like the Leicester game and the Palace game, both fantastic wins, but I wasn't there. So I'm always going to go for one that I was there for, I think. And the way in which, you know, Salah ends up taking his shirt off, the way in which we won that, Martial going through late when it's 1-0, and then skying it over bar. When things are on the line, they matter more to me, and I've always been like that as a footy fan. So yeah, that Manchester United game, and if there's a game that can potentially top that, it's Chelsea City. Like, I've not felt like that during a game of football that wasn't a Liverpool game ever in my life before. And so everything that goes around, obviously Liverpool winning the league and everything else, I can't ignore that one. So I'm sorry for picking two, James.
No, I like I said, there are no wrong answers. There are no wrong answers. Pete, what's your answer?
No problem. Villa away for me. I was tempted to go with Man City at home, because, you know, not putting City to bed the season before, I think, is the reason why we don't, one of the reasons anyway, contributes to the fact to not winning the league. I think we stared at our dominance early on, and it was like the 2-3 seasons before that when City did the same to us, and you kind of went, ah, right, this is probably their league. But no, I've gone with Villa, because it was me and Tom were literally on the front row, and there's nowhere to hide on the front row. Like, you know, there's no one in front of you, you know, the fans singing, or like, you just kind of go for it. And the atmosphere was really flat, because we were 1-0 down for ages, and certainly, you know, we left it late. And the people who do the inside Anfield videos, or whatever they're called for away days, at the club, did us a massive favour by putting the clip of me and Tom basically being the only people singing, as everyone's spirits were gone. But no, me and Tom, we battled on. And it looks like we were the last two men standing singing and stuff. And then obviously to leave it late, it's funny, the story of this season is that Liverpool didn't win loads of games really well. They just won loads of games. And that was the ultimate example of a game where you believe anything's possible, because if you can come from a goal down and then to basically score two last minute goals effectively to turn things around. Like that's one of those moments where you feel like it's totally written in the stars. Absolutely unreal.
Can I pick an honourable mention as well for beating Everton with the kids?
Absolutely,
Kev. I mean, there's quite a few honourable mentions, but that has got to be up there. That's close, isn't it? Like that
Curtis
one.
Curtis Jones.
Absolutely. Glorious times.
Absolutely unreal. Brilliant. Keep yours coming in the comments. Georgia, topic?
Yeah, so I saw on Twitter, and I think Sky Sports run the article of who should win player of the year. So obviously the Ballon d'Or's been cancelled, and poor Danny Ings can't win it, because then I saw people kind of championing Jordan Henderson for it. Obviously, you've got other fans saying Kevin De Bruyne, Jamie Vardy, Ings has been a shout as well. But just who do other people think? One, who from Liverpool do you think should win it? And if Liverpool win in it, what other player do you think would get it? Chris.
Right. I think the obvious shout is Jordan Henderson. I think there's got to be a shout for Virgil van Dijk in there. Like, we've just kind of take for granted what he's able to do week in, week out. And that's not that we disrespect Virgil, because we all know, but how his name isn't mentioned every single time De Bruyne's and Jordan Henderson's are mentioned baffles me. I think Sadio Mane's got to be up there as a Liverpool player as well. I think Mo Salah's got to be up there as a Liverpool player. I can't take the fact that Henderson's essentially captained us to a Premier League title out of it. And I know maybe, you know, if you were just judging it on performances on the pitch, maybe Jordan Henderson wouldn't win it. But you're not. You judge it on everything. They literally gave Ryan Giggs a Lifetime Achievement Award one year and made him Player of the Year. When, like, he was good, but he was nowhere near Player of the Year. It's just that he'd been good for 17 fucking years. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm all in on just giving it to Jordan for that reason alone.
Yeah. The Virgil stuff's funny, because the Virgil van Dijk stuff, I reckon he's being disrespected or under-respected, probably the way to phrase it. It's like when you move into a house and it's an absolute shithole, and he's come in and tidied it all up, but all he's doing now is keeping it at that level of tidiness, and it's not as noticeable anymore. When you're a defender, it's just like, well, that becomes the new level. Everyone's like, great, what else have you got? He's gonna have to score 10 goals in order to be able to, you know, to be up there with strikers. You get to do it all again every single season. You score goals and you're brilliant and you draw all the plaudits, so you get to have those performances. I think this is Henderson's one and only chance. If he doesn't do it in the season, when we had that little spell from December to mid-February where Fabinho was out and he was unreal, and then he gets injured himself and we're poo. Like, where there was this real definable thing where you go, this is what Jordan Henderson brings to this side. And the fact that he helped set up like the NHS charity with the players, he got them all organised, and, you know, he's also lifted the World Club Cup, and he's going to lift the Premier League. I agree. This is his best ever chance. The only issue is, Kevin De Bruyne is the best player in the league, and he might just get it because everyone knows that he's the best player in the league.
James is shaking his head then. He's not happy at all.
No, listen again, there are no wrong answers. You're all, you know, you're all right, but...
Dejan Lovren.
But... It's but the correct answer is Virgil van Dijk, because we're talking about one of the huge reasons that Manchester City were nowhere near us for this title was because they conceded too many goals. Their defence was all over the place, and that's been true for a lot of our so-called rivals. They've just leaked goals all over the place, and I think if you were to ask any of the managers of the other top six which player they would want in their side, I guarantee you all of them would say Virgil van Dijk. You cannot underestimate what that man has done for this team. Because we've seen it before. If you go back to 13-14 and you go back to even last season, you know, or certainly before Virgil, we're scoring goals for fun, but we're still not winning the league. And the reason for that is that we don't have Virgil van Dijk. He improves everybody around him. You look at some of the performances that Joel Matip's put in, you know, without his injury. unreal. And that, and a lot of that has to be down to having Virgil van Dijk play next to him. He's worth so many points a season. He pops up with a couple of goals. He was second in the Ballon d'Or. I fully expect Jordan Henderson to be in the conversation for Players Player of the Year and Sports Personality of the Year, all those things, because of the incredible work he's done off the field as well. Likewise, Marcus Rashford. I think Rashford and Henderson, you know, for what they've achieved off the field, I don't think anyone could argue, you know, with that. But for what he's done on the pitch, for what he's meant to this Liverpool team, for the impact straight away when we bought him, no one's mentioned his fee for months and months and months. Virgil van Dijk is the Player of the Year for me.
Wow, okay. That's pretty unequivocal, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd just like to add, like, I mean, there was a point where no sport was happening and I really thought that BBC Sports Personality Year was going to be Captain Tom. Like, when, you know, when there was literally no sport going on and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to win it. He's going to win it all. He's going to get the clean sweep on everything. He's going to get a knighthood and he's going to get BBC Sports Personality of the Year. I think he's fallen slightly behind in that race, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past him at his age to come back in the wily experience of Sir Captain Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Daniel Leyland, who's one of our members, is saying it's VVD all day. And yeah, that's the point. You're right. He's one of the best players in the world, isn't he? But I just feel like he won't be in the conversation because we're just used to that now. You know, like it's become part of the furniture.
Alisson's within a shout as well for the same reason as Van Dijk of we don't concede and he's kind of the unsung hero a lot of the time because he is so good. And like you said, we take him for granted because he makes it look so easy.
Yeah, the one that actually I don't think we've talked about yet, Sadio Mane. And I think, and in January, he was my Liverpool. It was between him and Henderson for me. And Henderson still slightly more symbolically because I think they were the two players more than any who you could tell were giving every inch, every kind of like egg of energy in their bodies to get Liverpool to the Premier League title. But I don't think Mane's maybe been as good in 2020 necessarily, whereas Salah actually all of a sudden, and it's interesting going back through the reactions to the season. Salah, people were a bit down on Salah prior to, you know, in the couple of months leading up to Christmas. And Mane was the one everyone was raving about, Sadio Mane. And then all of a sudden, yeah, it kind of gets a little bit forgotten about. But that's the thing. Mane probably, you know, if the voting was done in January, which I think that's right, it might be enough for him to get it. But yeah, it'd be a shame because I think he's been, I think it's been his best overall performance-wise. I think it's been Mane's best season for us, if not necessarily an output. But yeah, we've got loads. That's the problem. Loads of players who could all win it because they're all boss.
The other part of the question, I suppose, is players from other teams. Like, I think Georgia was right. I think Danny Ings should be in the conversation for it. I think, obviously, Kevin De Bruyne is going to be in the conversation every year he's still playing in the Premier League because of his skill set. Like, look, I don't think anyone's going to be pissed off if Kevin De Bruyne gets it because you can all understand why. But when it comes down to it, it's a team game. The generally, the player of the year comes from the side that, generally speaking, has won the league. Now, Kevin De Bruyne is part of a midfield that has been overrun at times and they've lost 9 games in the league this season. Now, it's all well and good. He's a great attacking player. But he's got defensive responsibilities as well. Like, you know what I mean? Why does everyone just overlook that for him? Like, I don't think it's right to overlook that when they've lost 9 games this season. He's had an opportunity to go and be on that pitch almost every single time and drive them to wins, and he's not done it as well as Henderson. It's probably biased than I am.
Yeah. I suppose it's the most solid argument, isn't it? That, like, Liverpool don't, you know, okay, yeah, we get to the Champions League final, but we don't win it. You know, and Mo Salah has an incredible individual season and wins Player of the Year. That'll be that's the De Bruyne argument. And I can't, again, because of that, I don't think any of us would be as upset. I think we'd all understand if Kevin De Bruyne won it, right?
To a degree, but Chris is right. It has to come from the team that have won the league. I mean, a team that's won the league, you know, at Christmas time, you know, I don't know how you can overlook a player from Liverpool. It's completely fucking nanas if you choose someone from City, quite honestly, because I don't think there's anyone at City, Kevin De Bruyne included, who, you know, when they're sat at home, would think, yeah, I've done myself justice this season, because they haven't. Otherwise, they'd be, you know, in the conversation for winning the league. They wouldn't be 30-odd points behind.
I mean, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, again, I'm not, I feel like I'm going to bat for Kevin De Bruyne when I'm really not asked. But I've just haven't looked at 83 Premier League appearances this season, 11 goals and 18 assists for the midfielder is absolutely outrageous. Like, he is something else. And I mean, again, to play devil's advocate on it, if they just had a better defence, which is in his fault, you know, if we'd kept Matip and Lovren as our centre halves, I'm sure there'd be, you know, Liverpool would be built far more on quicksand. We didn't, though. You know, we bought Virgil, and he's great.
It's not like he's got the record for assists, though, either, is it? It's like Terry Henry had 20 assists one season, Mesut Ozil had 19 assists one season. So it's not like a completely world-beating season that you can't ignore.
Yes.
He had 18 assists in 2016-17, Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
To put it into perspective, on the Sky Sports article and the voting, you've got Jordan Henderson, Sadio Mane, Virgil van Dijk, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Alisson, Roberto Firmino, six Liverpool players. You've then got Raheem Sterling, Kevin De Bruyne and Jamie Vardy. So,
Jamie Vardy. No one said Vardy at all. It's going to be the top goal scorer.
He scores goals when they lose games.
Case closed.
There you go. Sorry, Vards. Yeah.
It was just what James was saying of how you can't ignore. I think there would be a bit of an outcry if the. I mean, six, seven players from Liverpool who were in the starting 11 could win it. And I don't know why Raheem Sterling's in the conversation. I don't think he's done anything special this season. And like I said, De Bruyne, you can understand. But like Chris said, it's not record-breaking. It's nothing new. Whereas the others, I think more Liverpool players have got a bit more to offer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I just say as well, I've come across really salty on Kevin De Bruyne here. He's an unbelievable player. And if he wins it, I'm really not that arsed. He could win it next season as long as we win the title, because we're the team that's more than the sum of our parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've done it again, haven't I? I've made it sound salty again. He's a fantastic footballer.
Kevin, deserves
to be in the race for player of the year.
It's because, Chris, you can't help but speak what you feel and try to disguise it as much as you can. You're not that good an actor. It's just got that little hint. What is that? What is that really subtle taste there? Oh, that'll be salty. Yeah, sounds. No, it's fine. He's boss. He's boss. Let him be boss. He's fine. Right, okay. We've got one more question. This comes from our website subscribers. Doug says, James, doesn't say James, but I am this time, Sutton, if you could guarantee the treble for 3 years straight, but that also meant losing to Everton for those 3 years as well, would you do it?
What kind of a question is that?
How much do you enjoy not losing to Everton is the real question.
What treble? Not that it matters, but what treble?
The treble. Well, I presume the treble, which is the
domestic treble.
League, FA Cup, and Champions League.
For three years straight. So we win nine trophies in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd take that all day. Fuck Everton. I'd lose to them. But Everton still don't win a trophy, right?
Well, there's not. I mean,
there's only the Capital One Cup up for grabs, isn't there?
Yeah.
Right, so we win the league, the FA Cup, and the Carabao Cup, whatever it's called these days, 3 years on the bounce.
Champions League?
That's not the real thing. They can have their win against us. They can, you know, release a DVD or whatever.
Try as Man City might. Like, it is a treble because you won three trophies. And look, try as we might. We threw the League Cup, the UEFA Cup, and the FA Cup in. And it was a treble, but it's not the treble. So yeah, the Carabao Cup can get in the bin, can't it? Everton can. You know what? I'd say we'll take the treble, and we lose to Everton, and they can even win the Carabao Cup. That's how little I care. To see Liverpool do that would be, yeah, unreal. Is there any other answers to this, Chris?
No, certainly not. I mean, I'd do it for the league and Champions League double. I'd probably even agree to do it just for the league or just for the European Cup. Like, I really don't care. Oh, we've got bragging rights. We beat you, mate.
Oh, those trophies. You've got to put up with a parade 3 years on the bounce. They lost their fucking minds over one parade. Imagine every year.
They lost this shit when someone threw some Liverpool shaped paint on a wall in Bold Street last week. I mean, God, Georgia. I mean, again, most people kind of think this way. I'm not that arsed about the thing about not beating Everton, because eventually they're going to beat us. If you could guarantee that it would happen in a season where we also won three major trophies.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, how many times have we beaten Everton? We've kind of lost count. We don't really, like, you know, if you beat us, that would be, unless you win a cup and you win the trophy, great. That would be the epitome of your season was, yeah, we beat Liverpool. Yeah, okay, well, we've won three trophies again. Like, and what? Like James said, it's, yeah, you can have it. Release your DVD. Have fun. Knock yourselves out. We're just going to go and have our parades and be in the streets again.
Absolutely. Absolutely amazing. Well, listen, guys, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. Thank you to everyone for watching.
Wait. We've beaten them 121 times. We haven't lost count, Georgia.
Oh, sorry. I'll add it to the chart.
That's what Evertonians will know that, but more than we would know it.
I mean, I did have to Google
it. This is an Evertonian anyway.
I did have to Google it, to be fair. Like. We've actually drawn more games with them than lost.
Ugh.
Anywho, yes, join up to a Red Men membership if you're on YouTube. You can support the channel. You get custom voted tier 1, tier 2 and tier 3, tier 2 and tier 3. Also get access to the Final Word show. As I mentioned at the top of the show, is our exclusive show where we talk about the previous match. When Liverpool hopefully absolutely smash Chelsea everywhere and are crowned as champions, you can come and celebrate it with us digitally, of course, by becoming a tier 2 or tier 3 member. Yes, guys, amazing. Love you very much. Hope you've had an amazing time. I hope everyone at home has an amazing day. We'll be back very soon, Wednesday, live, 45 minutes before kickoff. The Mighty Reds. See yous all here. Ta-da.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.